here I am supposed to be reminding you about Ash Wednesday and the first Sunday of Lent next week, and I felt like I was at the Mardi Gras today already. It was really wonderful. Thank you so much for that. Today is the last, at sunset yesterday, I was on the Clearwater Beach area. Sand Key Park, I think that was the name of the park I was in, for the wedding of Ryan Steele. He's the son of members Terry and Peggy Steele that worship at 11 o'clock. And Ryan married Christina Steele, and they're from Kansas City. Had long planned this wedding, and then the front came in, and so we stood on the beach at sunset. And I want to tell you, it's cold on the beach just now. And it was easily the windiest wedding I had ever conducted. And that didn't stop any of their smiles. It didn't stop any of their celebration. And it was a good, good time together. And so we wish the best for them in their new marriage. Today we begin the last sermon in this series that's entitled The Time of Your Life. As I thought about this last 3 weeks that I've been preaching on the process of aging and the stages of human development, I didn't mention the authors that have influenced me in some of this thinking, and much of this just comes out of Scripture, but there are some good books to read that I could refer you to. Eric Erickson has a wonderful book on the 8 stages of human development, and while we don't progress through those stages that he writes about in any particular order, there are issues that we work on all throughout life, and that's a good book to read, Eric Erickson's 8 Stages of Human Development. Also remember reading Gail Sheehy's old book entitled Passages, and it talks about the journey of life from being born and rites of passage and growing old, and that had a big influence on me, as well as one author in particular, William Glasser. William Glasser was the developer of reality therapy, which I strongly support. It teaches that we are responsible for how we feel and how we respond to events in life, versus saying, I feel this way because something you have done. It really is to say, I choose to feel this way. I choose to feel this way. You choose, Glasser would say, we choose to be happy, we choose to be sad, we can choose joy, we can choose anger, but we choose our attitudes. And I enjoy reading from William Glasser. And so this message is all about the marker events of life, the transitions that we go through. And there are 2 stories, one from the Old Testament and then just a reading from the New Testament that really fit that, and it'll weave into the message as we go forward. And so this message is entitled Life's Transitions, and the scripture readings first is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. Samuel was a prophet in this particular story, and it was the prophet's responsibility to anoint kings. And he has anointed King Saul, and now King Saul is ending his reign as king, and this saddens the prophet. And so he's caught in between one king's reign ending and what to do about the future. And so this is that story. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over King Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer, take a cow with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." Eliab was Jesse's firstborn. Surely the Lord has anointed, the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before the prophet Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. And then in 2 Corinthians, I read the passage that has been the theme for each message, these last three sermons, beginning at verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Let's pray as we come to the message. O Lord and our God, we thank you for your written word, and we now come to listen to your word proclaimed, that we might apply it to our lives, to our minds and hearts, at whatever age we may be. Help us to always know that you are with us in the transitions of life. In Christ's name, amen. All of us will experience times of transition in life, turning points, if you will. There are moments or days when we are called to give up something, and when that happens, oftentimes we expect that void to be filled by something new, a something or someone else. But oftentimes when we expect that new thing to arrive, it doesn't come on schedule or come when we hope it will. And if it did come, sometimes emotionally we may not be ready for that new thing, that new time to begin. Because oftentimes we hold on to the past. We'll come back to that thought. But we are often in the in-between times and the transitions in life, the stages in life, and growth and aging. We're often anxious and waiting during periods of transition. It's a transition time in your life when you're giving up something old, hoping to become or find something new. You may find in those transitions that you are grieving for the past, or grieving what you had before that's lost, but you're waiting, hoping something new will fill you. Let me give you some examples to share what I mean this morning. If you're a teenager this morning, an adolescent is what the psychologists refer to you as. You're in between the stage of being a child and a full-grown adult. And adolescence, the very definition of the word adolescence, is someone who is still a child, but not yet an adult. Half child, half adult. Sometimes a young person will amaze us. We know this as parents, by something profound they say or something profound that they do. And then 2 minutes later, they may sound very immature and very selfish and short-sighted. And there's nothing bad about that. That's exactly the stage that you're at when you're a young teen. It's the process of growth in life that happens to you. And sometimes it still happens to us when we're older adults. It's tough to give up being a child, and it's important to always have a child within us, right? Those getting married are in life's transitions. that transition time. You are still single, but you're not yet married. And it's both an exciting time and it's oftentimes a painful time to wait for that big day. The couple that I had the wedding for yesterday, Ryan and Chris, they had been waiting for a year to come to the beach for this wedding, and the cold met them. But they had been so anxious and waiting for this day, and finally the day came, and today is the first day of their new marriage. Well, at the same time, going through a divorce can be trying as well for those that have experienced that. A relationship is over, and when that happens, in any relationship that ends, oftentimes it's very painful and there's no set guide or instructions for the future. It's not clear-cut what lies ahead. There's this in-between time, a transition for both partners who struggle to let go of the past and are looking for newness in life, perhaps a new identity to claim. But that takes time. It's a painful transition time after divorce to wait for the healing and the wholeness to return so that you feel that oneness and your identity again. It happens in bereavement, in times of grief. It's a time of transition. Someone you love dies. Someone you've known well dies. And there's a void there. And it's a difficult transition time, right? When someone you love, you lose. You have to let go, but your emotions oftentimes have trouble moving forward. And you wonder if there is a new future possible without that person that you've known so well and has been beside you for so long. New life will finally come, but it will come when it comes on its own schedule. And so if you're going through a difficult loss, hold on. You'll get through it, but it will take time. Some of you remember in life when you were between jobs, and it felt like you were in limbo because you had left one business experience and you were yearning to get started in that new job, and yet it hadn't arrived yet. I remember when I was in Edinburgh on my first church, it was a 2-year appointment, and while I was asked to stay, I knew if I stayed, I'd never come back to the United States except to visit. And so it was a difficult decision not to stay, but I began to send out my resume to churches, and I sent out my resume to the warmest spots I could find on the planet, and I sent my resume, of all places, to Florida. You could send 5 at a time once a month, and I sent my first 5 to Florida. And that was back in 1988. And oddly enough, one of the churches that I sent my resume to was Church of the Palms in Sarasota, and it was rejected. I didn't get the position. It was for an associate pastor for education. And years later, I would be called to that church as the pastor for evangelism and the new contemporary service. And the lady who was chair of the search committee, Maxine Colgate, she had been chair of the previous committee. And I said, "You remember you wrote me a rejection letter?" And I pulled out from my file the rejection letter, and I still had it. And she said, "Well, we're glad you're here now. You finally arrived." But it was a difficult transition to be in Scotland and waiting to come back to the United States and have a job here. And when the job was finally secured, it was in Alabama, of all places, not a very warm place, except in the summer. It was difficult to wait for the weeks to pass and the airplane finally to board and finally to get back to the U.S. and finally start in that church. And I'll have you know, I felt that whole transition time was a time to help me be ready for that church and for them to be ready to receive me. Older people know this anxiety of the in-between times. Many people make the decision intentionally to move into one of the retirement communities in our area, and there are many of them that are just wonderful adult living centers. But others have done that because they finally have lost the ability to care for themselves and they need the support from others, and oftentimes move from a home directly into assisted living. And when that happens, whether it's intentional in a move to a retirement community or unintentional, anxiety can come with that, because it's a rite of passage to move into a community like that. It's a whole new experience. Someone has compared the experience of going through the transitions in life, of letting go of the past and saying hello to the new, like the trapeze artist in the circus. And that's a good analogy. Remember those trapeze artists, they swing on those trapezes high above the floor of the circus tent, and they have to let go of one trapeze in order to go to the next one and grab it. And that's an interesting metaphor, because there is a time in swinging from one to the other that you're literally balanced in the air, hanging in the void, but you have to let go. And then you have to be ready to grab on and hold on to the next stage. Well, all of us sooner or later will go through a transition of some sort. All of us will be in that in-between time in life at some point. And so what do we say to ourselves when our lives are suspended in those moments? Here are a few things perhaps you want to write down. First, accept what is behind. Accept what you have lost. We do need to let go. We do need to move forward. We can't go backwards in time. It is our nature, however, to hang on to what was. And I can tell you, I am nostalgic as anyone, just like holding on to that old rejection letter. I keep about everything, even old Christmas cards. They're so precious to me. They remind me of moments that are just wonderful at Christmas. However, nostalgia, we have to remember, is an attitude that often romances and romanticizes that which was but can't be again. That which was but can't be again. In a modern play, a mother who is dying, she says to her children this, and I quote, "Love me enough to remember me as I was, not as you imagined I was." There's a difference. I really like the old story that I've retold in the past about the old preacher who announced one Sunday, "No one is perfect. There is no one that is perfect, not one." And there was a man that stood up in the balcony, and he said, "Preacher, you never met my wife's first husband." Have to let that sink in a little. You remember when times were tough in the Old Testament with the children of Israel? They were marching on that dusty march to the Promised Land for 40 years, and Moses was leading them. He had led them out of bondage to Egypt. And we are told in the story of the wilderness journey to the Promised Land that every time they encountered trouble, the people of Israel cried out. You know what their cry was? "Let's go back to Egypt. It's so difficult to let go and to move forward." They imagined that their past was always the best. It was trouble-free. They had forgotten even the horrors of slavery. So difficult it is to move forward in a time of transition, and yet we're called to do that. We cannot go back in life and redo the events of our lives. We can only move forward in a positive way if we choose that. So accept what is lost, what is behind. We need to let go. Secondly, God is able to hold on to you in those in-between times. God is able not only in the past, not only in the future, but God is able in the present to be with you in those anxious times. You know, often the psychologists and the health professionals, they call those transition times in life times often that are mirrored by our saying, "It's a time in my life when I lost my faith." Sometimes the flag of our faith is at half-mast when we go through those transition times and anxious times. We feel as God is not with me during those times. We say that to ourselves. But maybe this story will prove the point that God is with us in the in-between times. Keith Brown, you may not know Keith Brown. I know Keith Brown. He's the pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It's a great historic church. But one Sunday he was at coffee hour at his church, and he met one of his members there, talked to him for a while, a man named Frank Shadler. Now, Frank Shadler was a member of the church, and on Frank's suit was a lapel pin of a bulldog's face. And Pastor Keith did not know that Frank worked for Mack Truck, and he did not know that the symbol for Mack Truck is the bulldog. And so Pastor Keith, he said to Frank, "Frank, what does that bulldog pin on your suit, what does it stand for?" And Frank said with a smile, he said, "Well, Pastor," he said, "I like to think that it stands for my faith, that in difficult times I hold on to Jesus Christ like a bulldog, the tenacity of a bulldog." And Pastor Keith said, "Well, Frank, that's a wonderful symbol, but you have terrible theology. You see, that pin on your lapel, it should not stand for the tenacity to which you hold on to Jesus Christ. Instead, it should symbolize the tenacity to which Jesus Christ holds on to you no matter what comes in your life. For you see, Frank, in the moments in life when you cannot hold on to God, in the moments of life when you cannot even reach out to God, in those moments of life when you cannot even utter a prayer to God, God reaches out for you. And Jesus prays for you when you don't feel the words coming." Well, thirdly, finally, when you experience those transition times between yesterday and tomorrow, anticipate that God's victory is already upon you in the transition. Claim it. Trust that God will get you through that stage in life, and God will. In our Old Testament reading, you remember I read about the prophet Samuel. And Samuel, the prophet, he was grieving over the demise and the fall of the great King Saul. He couldn't believe that time was coming to an end. At one point, he had anointed him king. But Saul, we read, had turned away from God and lost God's blessing. And the prophet Samuel, he couldn't get over it. But right in the midst of that disappointment, God sent the prophet Samuel to Bethlehem to meet Jesse's family and the sons of Jesse. And finally, that seventh son was anointed king, the shepherd boy who is out in the field, King David, whose life we'll study on Wednesday evenings during the Lenten series. Samuel, you see, was given new hope. But it was a difficult transition between the reign of one king and the coming reign of another one. Sarah Patton Boyle, in her book, The Desert Blooms, she writes about the time in her life when she was in her 70s in retirement. And for a while, retirement seemed to be wonderful to her. She had all the time in the world. She could do whatever she wanted. But she said, "I realized that the retirement years can also be times of disappointment and times of depression because you lose your sense of identity from your work." And she writes about her experience because in that experience she learned how to redirect her life during those times of depression. She said, "Finally, I felt more alive in my 74th birthday when it rolled by than I had in younger years. Increasingly, after 74, I began to see new possibilities in myself that I had never seen before. I had been given," she said, "a mini resurrection in life." And that's what I wish for all of you this morning. I wish for all of you that when you go through a stage in life or a difficult moment and you're in that transition, remember to let go and to listen often for that still, small voice of God, and remember that God hangs on to you and will never let you go, and that resurrection power is there for you in that time of transition. Let's pray as we come to the last song. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for this time together. We are so grateful for the music that Thrive has led us in today and how it speaks to us about faith and life and the stages that we go through. Help us in today and tomorrow and the day after that to not just feel that we're hanging on to you, but to realize you are hanging on to us with the tenacity of a bulldog. In Christ our Lord, let us sing, amen.